Hey, what's up, folks, and happy Black History Month. Welcome to the Boss's Desk, where we look out for you, giving you the best in geek movies, news, and culture. I'm your host for the day, the Big Boss, and I am on my solo dolo today. And I just want to take a little time out from my regularly scheduled podcast to bring you something special on this beautiful month of Black History. Always like to keep it as geek as possible on this show while being as proud as ever of my heritage and my people. It's only right that I have this segment here today for y'all. All this month, I'll be doing a once a week look at great moments and people in blurred history. For those of you that don't know, a blurred is shorthand for what we in the Black community know as the Black Nerd. Always unique, never imitated. And for this Black History Month, I'm working to spread a little bit of knowledge about this part of geekdom and celebrate some of the Black revolutionaries in geek comics, TV, film, and gaming. This week, I'd like to take a moment to acknowledge the late, great Wayne McDuffie, the mastermind behind Milestone Media. Now, before we get into his work with Milestone Media, let's take a little bit look back at his time before he branched out on his own in the early 90s. So Dwayne McDuffie was born on February 20th in 1962 in Detroit, Michigan, to Leroy and Edna McDuffie. Now, in the year of 1983, he went on to graduate from New Michigan, later furthering his education by earning his master's in physics. So, you know, he was a learned guy. That's one of the things that I love about some of these creators is that they go to school for these seemingly like for the comics community outlandish professions, but they gather an expertise in some of these fields of study, and they bring that into their storytelling. So, you know, a lot of the sci-fi based storytelling that comics have, you know what I'm saying, we'll get that side of it from this diverse background in education. You know, you consider characters like, you consider writers like Kevin Grievous and his PhD in microbiology. These guys are learned individuals telling stories of people of color, and they use their field of expertise, bring it back, and develop these amazing stories, phenomenal stories that are based in science fact but are science fiction. And it provides a great base for a plethora of different stories to be told. So after his postgrad, Dwayne heads over to New York to attend film school at NYU's Tisch School of Arts. So he's already building a base, setting up to get involved in an illustrious career of writing in the field of comics and sci-fi. So after completing that degree, he starts working for a copy editor for a business mag before getting an interview with Marvel Comics, leading to an illustrious career as a writer in comics. Now, in his time at Marvel, he worked on several different series, but the biggest fact that you guys want to learn here is that he created the Damage Control miniseries within Marvel. Now, Damage Control was an interesting story because it focused on a company that was in the Marvel Universe in between the comics, actually cleaning up the messes that these heroes would leave around in their like epic fights. So, you know, Damage Control provided a unique perspective to the Marvel Universe. It's like, yeah, the heroes save the day. They mess up the cities while they do it, you know, but who's going to clean that up? And that's what Damage Control was for. You know, I'm still waiting for that TV series. Like, we've been talking about this thing being in development for a long time. I know DC has almost like a carbon copy of this type of company, this type of storytelling in their universe as well. They released the show, didn't really debut well, so they scrapped it. So I'm wondering if, you know, they're waiting to see if they're gonna do this, maybe put it on Disney Plus or something. But, you know, Damage Control was a great story, a great look into the Marvel Universe in from a perspective that we're not familiar with in the already established universe. So it was something fun to play with. And Dwayne McDuffie created that story. He created that world. Now, here's a little known fact for you guys about Dwayne McDuffie. Now, in an effort to make Marvel execs aware of a dangerous pattern of repetitive black characters that they were putting in their comics, he pitched a satirical idea for a new series called Teenage Negro Ninja Thrashers. Now, he writes this memo, and I gotta tell you, like, it really pokes a hard... It really sends a hard look to Marvel execs and pokes fun at what they're doing. He handles it very concisely and along the lines of what they would do to pitch a story. But I got to read this thing for you guys. And I'm going to try to use a little bit of announcer voice, mix it up a little bit so you can kind of get the feel for the way that he was putting this out here. So let's go for it. In the past year, 25% of all African-American superheroes appearing in the Marvel Universe possess skateboard-based superpowers. In an attempt to remain on the cutting edge of comics, I hereby propose a new series that will fully exploit the exciting new trend. Teenage Negro Ninja Thrashers. When a group of teenage Negroes find cosmic-powered skateboards, their lives are forever changed. A team of distinct characters join together, swearing an oath to use their powers for good. Rocket Racer, a black guy on a skateboard. Night Thrasher, a black guy on a skateboard. Dark Wheelie, a black guy on a skateboard. And their leader, the mysterious black guy on a skateboard, known only as that mysterious black guy on a skateboard. This is a surefire hit, and it contains all these popular elements, circa 1974 clothing and hairstyles. Bizarre speech patterns, unrecognizable by any member of any culture on this planet. A smart white friend to help them out of the trouble they get into. Their heroes could be you. If you were black, I mean. They're on skateboards. And lastly, there's an attractive white female friend to calm them down when they get too excited. Face it, Pilgrim, this one's got it all. Have I made my point? So that's how he wraps it up. Like, have I made my point? Like, basically, he points out the flaws that these comics have been releasing, because Night Thrasher had just got released. And for those of you who are not familiar with Night Thrasher, Night Thrasher has a similar background to that of Batman, as he's a rich character who has access to technology and access to training. So he, you know, builds himself up to be this vigilante. But when he started out, you know, he was pretty much a vigilante on a skateboard, which had been the theme during that time. And Dwayne wrote this memo to kind of like call out Marvel execs and say, hey, we got to change the way we storytell. There's a great quotable that he has where he says the following: if you do a black character or a female character or an Asian character, then they aren't just that character. They represent that race or that sex, and they can't be interesting because everything they do has to represent an entire block of people. You know, Superman isn't all white people, and neither is Lex Luthor. So we knew we had to present a range of characters within each ethnic group, which means that we couldn't just do one book. We had to do several books, and we had to present a view of the world that's wider than the world we've seen before. And, you know, this quote is great because it basically is like what he built Milestone Media on. And, you know, Milestone Media grows to be this juggernaut, and it still holds that title of being like the most diverse comic book brand of its age, you know. So after all this goes down in Marvel, he starts Milestone Media as an answer to what he proposed to Marvel through that memo. Now, Milestone was an imprint in DC that gave birth to characters like Static Shock, Icon, Rocket, Hardware, Zombie, the Blood Syndicate. These were all characters that were people of color. You know what I'm saying? You have Static Shock, Icon, Rocket, Hardware, African American, Zombie, Asian American. The Blood Syndicate was a kind of like anti-hero team that consisted of Black, Asian, Latina, men and women on this team. And it was something that wasn't really done in comics. And so this was like a big deal. This is early 90s. And, you know, you have characters like Black Panther and Falcon and War Machine. And even in DC, you have Batwing, who I think didn't get introduced to way after Milestone Media. You have other characters in the universe, John Stewart, Green Lantern. But these characters were fitting into tropes. Luke Cage, Black Goliath, you know what I'm saying? Like all these characters were fitting into tropes when they first started out, and they hadn't transitioned to like a real solid storytelling until like people of color began to tell those stories. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, Milestone Media came in and they told these stories of POC characters in this comic book world. And it was a great time in Black geek history. We got to see stories with real characters, with depth, dealing with real issues. And it wasn't just a matter of them being Black or Asian or Latina. It was about them being characters in this world that McDuffie had created. So when Milestone finally stopped issuing new comics, that's when McDuffie took to the animation scene. So that's when we got Static Shock, the animated series. So that came out on the scene after Milestone Media stopped producing new stuff. So we got Static Shock that came on, and then he gets heavy into TV at this time, lending his talents to not just Static, but Teen Titans, the Justice League series, Justice League Unlimited when it came out. He even helped revamp and edit the Ben 10 series with Alien Force and Ultimate Alien. A lot of the DC, a lot of the critically acclaimed DC animated films that came out were due to the brilliant writing of McDuffie. So you look at Justice League Doom, Crisis on Two Earths, All-Star Superman, which is by far like one of my favorite DC animated films. If you haven't checked out All-Star Superman, check it out. It's one of those, it really was one of those stories. So it was an adaptation of a graphic novel that had been released in 2000, and it took an interesting look on Superman and the weight that he holds as this legendary hero. And it made me look at Superman in a different way. It actually made me really become interested in the character. And it had a lot to do with the way that the adaptation successfully made this peaceful beast of a character in Superman. And Dwayne McDuffie does a really good job of the writing and the direction of the film, and he's in control of all of that. And it's just great. He's had some great moments. He's won awards for these films, won awards for these animated series. And a lot of the things that, you know, we look at Justice League, we look at Batman animated series, Superman animated series. Remember Bruce Timm. We know his art style. We know Justice League because it's Bruce Timm's art style. Same thing with Justice League Unlimited. We know that art style. When we look at the art style of Justice League, and we automatically think Bruce Timm. But a lot of those thoughtful moments, a lot of those written moments, was done by Dwayne McDuffie. So it's like the visual side was Bruce Timm. The thoughtful side, the actual content, the actual lines that were spoken by these characters were Dwayne McDuffie. And, you know, a lot of these stories were told by him. And, you know, this young boy from Detroit grows up to be a juggernaut in the comic game. And for me, Dwayne McDuffie is in the conversation when it comes to the greats and the heavyweights in the comic industry. So, you know, man, you know, he was one of those guys. So, you know, rest in peace, King McDuffie. We appreciate you for all that you've created in the worlds that you let us travel. So that is it for this week's Great People in Black Geek History. Man, I thank you guys for joining me on this journey. This is the first of many. I got a couple that'll be coming out this month. I think next week we're going to take a look into, voice acting, the juggernaut that is Cree Summer. You know, whether or not you know it or not, she has voiced a lot of the characters that you grew up loving in animation and in all cartoons. I could think Susie Carmichael in the Rugrats. She has a litany of characters that she's voiced over the years that we can list out, and I'm going to go through all of them, and you'll be surprised at how many voices you've heard over the course of your life. So don't forget, if you're following us, you're listening to the first time, don't forget to follow us on all the various social media outlets. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, and we're on YouTube under The Boss's Desk. This podcast will be on Google Play. It will also be on iTunes. So just follow us on there, subscribe so that you can get updates. You can get updates of our regular podcast and this special podcast that I'll be doing every week this month, trying to get it out to you guys on Friday. So that is it for the Big Boss here at The Boss's Desk. Great moments in Black Geek History. I will catch you guys next week. Peace.